Hello and welcome. This is your health bestie, Barbara. In the last episode, we compared our medical team to our own sports team. The goal of our medical team is to help us experience the best health. In this episode, we will take our first step into the world of health insurance. Before we set up our healthcare team, usually we will select our health insurance plan. In most cases, our healthcare team will fall within the network of our health insurance provider. Illness is not always well defined, especially when it comes to aging and chronic disorders such as diabetes, anemia, or headaches. There are many factors that affect our health. Last week, we spoke about our work and the environment in which we live as contributing factors to health. Our stress levels, the amount of sleep and exercise are also factors in our health, coupled with our food choices and the quality of our relationships. This show is presented by Health Solutions Today, where we offer health insurance for solopreneurs and small business owners. Navigating the world of health insurance can be overwhelming. Schedule an appointment today to discuss your health insurance needs. A quick 15-minute call can protect your family's financial upside. Our discussion today is not meant to treat or diagnose any particular disease, and it should not substitute qualified medical advice. Health insurance is not a guarantee against being ill or even recovering from illness. You will want to assess the many factors that affect your health and address them as you see fit. This is where your healthcare team comes in. Discuss your various needs with them. Health insurance helps with the cost of medical care. It is designed to prevent unpredictable, costly medical bills. For example, when I work in the hospital, more than 90% of the expenses were covered by my health insurance. That saved me more than $90,000. Many people enjoy sports. Personally, I ran track in high school and middle school, in addition to playing the flute. For this reason, I will continue our sports analogies to help us understand the benefits of health insurance. These days, it is popular to have subscriptions. Many of my friends who are fur parents participate in BarkBox. They say their furry family members always know when the BarkBox arrives for them, and their fur family members look forward to it. For men, there are shave clubs, and for many of us, we participate in gym memberships. Rather than set aside space in our home and purchase expensive gym equipment, tanning beds, saunas, swimming pools, and massage chairs, we opt instead to take a gym membership or membership at the YMCA. A massage chair can range from $300 to more than $3,000. Tanning beds, saunas, and swimming pools need special placement in rooms and also require regular maintenance. In gym membership, you are able to have access to these items when you need them, in addition to access to the treadmill, free weights, cable machines, workout classes, and fitness instructors. The gym may also include specialty classes such as kettlebells, yoga, Pilates, exercise bikes, and more. The gym pools all of these activities in one place. If we were to purchase these items individually, we would be out of pocket several thousands of dollars and probably would not have the space to house all the equipment, nor would we have the ability to maintain the quality of the equipment. For these reasons, the gym is a great option. It provides a wide range of activities and allows us to connect with like-minded people. Health insurance gives us access to a wide range of facilities, from knowledgeable doctors, x-ray lab and MRI specialists, urgent care, ER, physical therapists, gynecologists, and more. In addition to this, health insurance negotiates the costs beforehand on our behalf so that we don't have to go from office to find the best rates. Believe it or not, healthcare plans date back as far as 1798. In the 1900s, it quickly became a part of the benefits packages that employers used to lure in employees. The benefit of the health insurance that we provide access to at Health Solutions Today is that you can be self-employed and have health insurance for yourself and your family. And if you work for a company that does not provide health insurance benefits, then you are able to enroll as well. Many of us limit our joy of life and our potential income simply to work at jobs that provide health insurance benefits. Many employers pay a portion of health insurance benefits. Some employers may pay as much as 50 to 80% of the monthly premium of health insurance and offset the rest of the cost to the employer. But is it really worth limiting one's earning potential simply to have the cost of health insurance subsidized by an employer? I hope not, especially when there is a better choice available. It is far better to simply pay the full price of health insurance and free up your earning potential and your time by properly managing your business and your expenses. The Great Depression brought together workers and hospitals. This further intertwined employment with health insurance. We will always have dips in the economy. It is best to prepare for this as an aspect of business and as an opportunity for increased creativity, coupled with an opportunity to better service the needs of the customer base that you serve. During the Great Depression, employees joined the first prepaid group plans. These group plans later developed into HMOs. In a few moments, I will explain HMOs, PPOs, and EPOs. First, I want to lay the groundwork to understand how we came to health insurance as we know it today. After World War II, health insurance was officially used as a recruitment tool by employers. Rather than receive higher wages, employees were offered more expansive and generous health benefits. In the 50s, employers were allowed to contribute to health insurance premiums without having to pay taxes. This benefit for employers continues to this day. It was in the 50s that the Blue Cross and Blue Shield plans began to compete at the commercial level. The Blue Cross represented prepaid plans for hospital insurance, and the Blue Shield represented physician insurance. Together, the Blues set pace for community ratings and experience ratings. Community ratings set premiums based on an entire geographic area and experience ratings based premiums on specific groups and individuals. Some areas are more healthy than others. This resulted in low spending areas due to increased health. This is referred to as experience rating. Premiums are the amount that you, as the insurance holder, pays on a monthly basis. Or it's the portion of health insurance that's deducted from your paycheck. Community ratings favored groups of people who were already sick. In a later episode, we will discuss indemnities. Indemnities were started by early commercial plans to pay a fixed amount per hospital day, and the insured was later reimbursed for these payments. Do you have questions about health insurance or need to enroll? To schedule a 15-minute discovery call, we have licensed, knowledgeable agents available to help you select the best plans for you and your family. You can find us on X, the Everything app, formerly known as Twitter, at @solo_health. By now, I want to get into managed care before we come to a close of our discussion. As we move forward to the 60s and 70s, the federal government began programs such as Medicare and Medicaid. These programs provided health insurance for the aged and families with dependent children. This is also known as welfare. During this time, the economy was sluggish. For example, the GDP only grew 3.2% from 1966 to 1973, but health expenditures more than doubled this at 7.2%. HMOs were created during this time in 1973. The term HMO stands for Health Maintenance Organization. All employers were required to offer at least one HMO with their health insurance plan in order to receive tax exemptions. HMOs were similar to prepaid programs created by the Blues discussed earlier. They received a fixed fee to providers per patient each month. In other words, they received a budget or allowance. Enrollees in HMOs selected a primary care provider, and the provider decided if the enrollee was allowed to visit a specialist. In other words, to see a specialist, you would have to be pre-approved by your PCP. They would write a note that you could provide to the specialist to show that you had approval to see them. In 1970, there were fewer than 2 million people enrolled in HMOs. By 1992, there were 39 million. There are two more managed care plans to discuss, PPOs and EPOs. PPOs stand for Preferred Provider Organizations. They were started in the 80s. In this plan, the services were not prepaid as an HMO. Instead, contracts were created with preferred providers to pay a negotiated rate for services. This resulted in a less restrictive plan than the HMO, where you had to see your PCP in order to see a specialist. In a PPO, if they are in network, you can see them. Even if they are a specialist, you do not have to see your PCP first and get approval. From a healthcare perspective, this gives the enrollee a wider perspective or range for their health condition because they can have multiple people provide a diagnosis. If the services were not contracted beforehand with the PPO, then the service was referred to as out of network. This meant you would pay more for the service, and it provided an incentive to look for a provider who accepted the insurance offered by the PPO. EPOs were created to be an in-between for both HMOs and PPOs. They are not as restrictive as HMOs. Still, in an EPO, the enrollee is assigned a PCP, but they are able to use an out-of-network provider, but they pay more out-of-pocket in exchange. EPO stands for Exclusive Provider Organizations. An EPO has a restrictive network and a very limited, if any, out-of-network benefits, but they do not require you get prior approval from your PCP to see a specialist. If you are enjoying this episode, you can follow us on any podcast app. I'm curious to know, how have you managed your healthcare costs in the past? Let me know on X, formerly known as Twitter, at @solo_health. For more than 5 years, I worked for the Social Security Administration. Monday through Friday, I spoke with people who would call me to see when they would receive their disability check. More than 70% of the people who apply for disability benefits are not disabled. Consequently, I declined a lot of people. By the age of 7, after a year of formal schooling, most of the spunk and enthusiasm for life that a child has is gone. For me, it was very depressing to talk to people who limited themselves by anxiously awaiting disability checks. It was as if they had given up on life and their only hope was to sit at home, wait for a check, and watch TV. I get it. There were times when I wanted to give up as well. It wasn't easy learning to walk again, or coordinating my schedule with others to get to and from work, doctor's appointments, physical therapy, and have somewhere to stay. In many cases, I rode the bus to these appointments and to my friends' houses. I've worked a wide range of jobs in my life. I started out at an amusement park in high school by operating the kiddie rides at Kentucky Kingdom. I've worked, as I mentioned, for the government. Also, I've worked in office settings, factories. I even trained to be a welder and welded car mufflers for a few years. Also, I've worked at call centers and as a delivery and courier of newspapers, pizzas, and even people. I know what it is like to work one's fingers to the bones. From personal experience, I know how depressing it can be to work 12-hour shifts 7 days a week for months at a time. As a welder, that's what they wanted us to do, keep up with production and make more mufflers. Sometimes I was so tired from that job that I simply went to sleep in my car after my shift and didn't bother to drive home. There was less risk of me falling asleep while I drove. It can feel like there is so much risk going out on one's own to make a living. It may seem as if no one teaches how to start a business or gain financial freedom. But trust me, there are many mentors available. There's a saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. The benefits of working for an employer are well understood. You have set hours and a regular paycheck coupled with other benefits. These days with the internet, personal contacts, and social media, the opportunity to be a successful business owner is unparalleled. There is such a thing as paying it forward. When one helps others and starts to be in service to others, then things will come back to you from unknown places. Just today, my neighbor spontaneously cut my grass because I let them use my driveway for the past few months while they rebuilt their own driveway. When I taught capoeira, it was my students and their friends who loaned me their homes and chauffeured me around when I was unable to care for myself. They did this because I was in service to them first and foremost through my teachings and my work. Limiting one's potential in life simply as a trade to have health insurance benefits, in my opinion, is more detrimental than it is beneficial. We owe it to ourselves and to our families to live the life that we dream and find a way to make as much money as we can by serving others. Sometimes this means getting over our own hiccups that we have about making money. In the end, your kids and your future self will thank you. Perhaps you are good at washing cars or cleaning homes, or you love to make t-shirts or candles and sell them through an Etsy shop. Perhaps you love arbitrage and you find items to sell on eBay and you scour the Dollar Tree for books and resell them on Amazon. Maybe you even enjoy sharing your knowledge of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Whatever it is, don't give up on life or be afraid of economic downturns because the company that you work for is going to be just as susceptible to economic downturns as well. We are still recovering from COVID. Many people lost employment because their employer could no longer keep their doors open. Do you want to trust your livelihood and ultimately your life to someone else? Recently, I spoke with a woman in her 70s. She told me that she is on Social Security and only receives $1,300 a month. I cannot imagine what it is like to only make $1,300 a month. But this is what a person makes from Social Security after they retire from a life of hard work and dedication to build another company at an 8-to-5 job. It is far better to take an hour or two every day to build one's own business and create the life of your dreams, and more importantly, gain the income that you deserve. This way, you can pay for your own health insurance for yourself and your family, even if that means paying $500 a month to have it. The upside in income and life satisfaction from owning one's own business is so much greater. Today, we discuss the beginnings of health insurance in 1798, how it became deeply ingrained as a benefit for employment. We discussed how many of us lose our steam for life by the time we are only 7 years old, and discuss ways to get our mojo back and live the life of our dreams. We also managed to squeeze in the difference between HMOs, PPOs, and EPOs. Phew, that was a lot. Even though I may implore you to step out and start your own business, there are those who walk the tightrope and opt to go without health insurance. In the next episode, we will explore the uninsured and the impacts of this risky lifestyle. This is Barbara. I'm yours in health. Let me help you navigate the amazing world of health insurance. Remember, every day can be a healthy day.